Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to Piaggio conference call. We are here to share with you the outcomes of our board of directors with particular regards to the full year 2010 results. The conference call will be divided into two separate panels. In the first one, Mr. Pallottini, Piaggio Group Financial General Manager, will review the consolidated financial results of the year. In the second one, we will have a brief comment by our chairman, Mr. Colaminno, and then we will be available for a Q&A session. Before starting, I remind you that to follow the conference call, you can find the presentation slides in the Investor Relations section of our website at the address www.piaggiogroup.com. Now, I'm pleased to hand over to Mr. Pallottini.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome to everybody. Let us move to our presentation, and we can follow the highlights starting from pages 3 and 4 of the presentation. So net sales accounted for 1,485 million euros in line with previous year, but with a different geographical mix. The growth of our Asian operations, that means India and Vietnam, offset the decrease of European and American sales, which were affected by a negative market scenario. The gross margin was 462 million euro, 5 million lower than last year, accounting for 31.1% in terms of ratio to net sales. The EBITDA was 197 million euro, that means 3.7 million lower than last year, with a percentage contribution by 13.3%, while the EBIT increased to 111 million euro, that means 6.7 million higher than previous year. Financial expenses went down to 27.3 million euro from 30.3 million during last year. And as a consequence, the income before tax was 83.8 million, that means 10 million more versus 2009, while net income was 42.8 million euros, around 4.6 million less than previous year due to a higher tax contribution. The net financial position was 350 million euros with a cash generation like 2 million. Now, moving to slide number 5, we can have a deeper look at the net sales trend. The Piaggio Group total net sales accounted for 1,485 million euro in line with previous year, and for the two-wheel sales, they, including spare parts and accessories, they accounted for 988 million euro, down from 1,065 million in 2009. In terms of businesses, the negative turnover performance came from 50 million decrease in scooters and from a 20 million decrease in the motorcycle segment, which registered a minus 12% over previous year. On the other side, the total commercial vehicle sales increased to 497 million euro from 421 million in 2009, with an increase by 18%. The two-wheels Western country sales, which include European and American sales, accounted for 855 million euro, with a decrease by 12.9%. This is the result of the two-wheels European sales accounting for 832 million euro, with a 9.6% decrease, compared to a total European market decrease of 13% in the same period, and two-wheels American sales accounted for 23 million euro with a decrease at about 35 million. Two-wheels Asian sales were up to 133 million euro, about 15 million higher than 2009, mainly thanks to our Vietnamese operation and to the first steps of distribution development in the whole area. Commercial vehicles increased from 421 million to 497 million in 2010,
thanks to the contribution of our Indian sales that grew by 36% compared to previous year, in line with the strong growth of the Indian market. Overall, looking at the geographical mix of total sales and considering both two wheels and commercial vehicles business segments, Asian revenue's contribution to total sales increased from 25 to 35% in all 10. The next slide now shows the overall number of units sold, which increased from 608,000 to 628,000 units. That means a 3% increase over previous year. The total two wheels accounted for 395,000 units, and we maintained our market share in Western countries markets. In Europe, we kept our market share 20% to the same level as last year, stable in scooters at 27%, and a slightly increasing in bikes from 6.4% to almost 7%. As a consequence, sales volumes went in line with the market, which registered a decrease of 13% in scooter segment and of 12% in bikes. The Asian volumes grew in 2010 from 37 to 60,000 units, and in particular 48,000 in Vietnam and 12,000 in other countries of the region. Going into the details of two wheels results, scooters volumes accounted for 355,000 units. That means a minus 4% compared to previous year. Motorcycles accounted for 40,000 units sold. That means a 3% decrease compared to previous year. Coming to commercial vehicles, the 3 and 4 wheels units sold had an overall increase of 18%, up to more than 230,000 units, thanks to the Indian performance that registered an increase by 21%. Now going to slide 7, we can have a deeper look at the EBITDA evolution. The EBITDA accounted for 197.1 million euro with an EBITDA margin of 13.3%, almost in line with the previous year. This result was generated by a lower cash gross margin, about 6 million less than previous year, partially offset by savings in cash operational expenses, about 2 million. It should be noticed that the different composition of our sales caused a 0.7 percentage point negative impact on GM, on gross margin over revenues. This was partially offset by purchasing and industrial efficiencies. In particular, that came from Indian sales increase that shows a lower gross margin that is more than recovered at the EBITDA level. We registered also some purchasing efficiencies that more than offset also some raw materials increase. In terms of cash operational expenses, the group achieved a reduction by 2 million euro despite the development of our Asian operations. Now, the next slide shows the evolution for the net income, which accounted for a total amount of 42.8 million euro compared to 47.4 registered in 2009. That means a 5 million decrease. This came from the following. The EBIT increased by 7 million euro to 111.1 million with a growing EBIT margin from 7 up to 7.5%, also thanks to lower depreciation and amortization, following a higher percentage in industrial investments with, that have a longer depreciation period. The financial expenses showed a 3 million euro improvement compared to last year, thanks to the decrease of cost for funding related to the replacement of the bond issued in 2005 with a new bond, with a new bond issued at the end of 2009, and to the lower floating rate. The earnings before tax was 83.8 million, almost 10 million higher than previous year. That means a 13% increase. At the tax level, we had an overall cost of 41 million euro, with an increase of about 14 million euro versus 2009. This increase was due to the higher earnings before tax, of course, as well as to a different distribution of taxable income among the different countries, with a consequent impact on higher tax rate, which was 48.9% versus 36%. Moving to slide nine, we can have a look at the balance sheet level. The net financial position accounted for 350 million euros, with a cash generation of 2.1 million euros for the whole year, of course, versus 7.7 million in the previous year. Considering a slightly higher dividend distribution and a higher buyback in 2010, the cash generation was at the same level than previous year. To better appreciate the cash flow of the period, we can now move directly to slide 10. The cash generation came from the operating cash flow, which generated about 130 million euro, coming from the P&L that we analyzed before. The working capital reduction, which generated an additional 8 million euro, mainly thanks to lower inventories. We had a 96 million euro in capital expenditure, in line with our yearly CapEx plan. 26 million euro cash absorption for dividend payment, and 3.3 million euro shares buyback. Thank you for your kind attention. We have finished our presentation, and we are ready for your questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that you may register for your questions by pressing star followed by one. The first question from Mr. Massimo Vecchio from Mediobanca. Mr. Vecchio, please.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. I have three questions. The first one is on the commercial vehicles in India. I've noticed, looking at your full year results, that there is a positive price mix, which is quite impressive according to my calculation, some 15%. I was wondering if you can expand a little bit on that. How much is price, how much is mix, and what's going on in this market? The second question is always on your emerging market franchise. Are you seeing any kind of slowdown? Do you fear any kind of interest rate increase could, in some way, impact your revenues? The third and last question is on your full year 2011 guidance, which, if I'm correct, is pointing to 1.65 billion euro revenues, so +11% year-on-year, and an EBITDA margin, which is basically flattish, 13.4%. I was wondering if you can expand on how confident are you in achieving that, and what kind of assumptions are behind this? Thank you.
Roberto Colaninno, I respond to your first question regarding India. We was in India last week to revise our plan on 2011 and 2012, especially based on the expansion that we have decided. India market growing much more than we expected. The result of the first two months is more than the budget, and the expectation for the remainder of the year is in the same trend. We have looked at the trend of the scooter market, that is unexpectedly higher than what we believe. The three-wheeler market going a race again over our expectation. Our feeling is only 2 months that is on 2011. Our feeling is that India give us the results better than the budget, better than our expectation. For what is more, very important, the inflation is under the control, and everybody expected a sort of let's say, or stay as it is today, or can decrease due to the big expansion of the business and the big expansion of the price control done by the government. So India is quite positive, the market of India. Probably we have to revise on higher volume the expectation for 2012 on our budget scooter sales.
Okay, we can add some more information about India. Consider that there was at the revenue level a positive impact versus previous year coming from the exchange rate, which accounted for about 39 million euros. That means that the total revenues, which increased by 36%, would have been increased by 22%, however, even at the same exchange rate. Of course, the same happened at the cost level, with a lower level, of course, so the total impact was positive. And this is just to give you a first answer about your second question about the evolution that we can expect from the local macroeconomic main behavior expected. That means that in those countries, first of all, the inflation is intended to be kept under strict control from all local governments, China, India, and so on. And anyway, in those countries, the inflation in costs, in our experience, can be easily recovered on the price level. And that was happened last year, for example, in India. So at the moment, there are no particular critical situation for the inflation. About the interest rate evolution, again, those markets, some of those markets, and India is the most important one, could be probably affected by significant interest rate increase. And this happens in those markets where the consumer credit is already working, and this is the case of India, for example, not yet in the Southeast Asian region. But anyway, this was something that we already experienced at least twice in the past 3 or 4 years, and generally the situation is lasting for a number of months, and then sales start again to go. At the moment, there is no signal about a decrease coming from those impacts. For the full year results, now it's very early, I would say. Let's have a look at the first quarter. At the moment, we are in the condition to confirm the target we gave last year. There is no reason to have any modification, but we will see at the end of the first quarter.
A follow-up on the last question on the guidance, which is not really on the guidance itself. I've seen February registration figures in Italy, which were mildly positive, and it was quite surprising to me. I was wondering if you were expecting this positive figure and what we can try to assume for the rest of the year. Do you know what's the reason behind this unexpected year-on-year growth?
Well, look, we have to be very careful on this picture because, you know, what is the number one is very positive, the sales of February that we get it, but I think it's too early to say that the trend of Italy should be changed in such a way. The positive is that the first two months of last year was very positive because due to the incentive action, and if you remember the decline beginning from March and then go on in the remaining months. So until now we see and we keep the sales of the first 2 months in Italy related that correspond in relation with the 2 months of the last year, I consider that positive. But we want to see what is going in the future months of the year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Next question for Mrs. Monica Bosio from Banca IMI. Mrs. Bosio, please.
Yes, hello everyone. I would have three questions. The first one is relating to the two wheels operation in Asia. Could you please quantify, if it's possible, a target in volumes for two wheels in Asia and just give us a detail on two wheels outside the Vietnam? And the second question is related to the CapEx expected for 2011. Could you please just give us an indication of the investment expected for the current year? And as the, for the third question, I apologize, but I didn't get the answer. I'm just trying to understand what kind of trend are you factoring in your estimates on in your budget for the Italian market in 2011? Are you assuming a flat trend, a drop, or whatever?
Okay, I will give you some of the answers, Monica, together with Mr. Galli. The market, the forecast about Italian market, considering that it was by far the worst European market, maybe the best market in the worst market in the world last year, we should be very, very careful in our forecast. At the moment, we can consider that last year the first quarter was quite good, as we said before, and then the market started to decrease significantly. In our forecast, there are no significant modifications for the total year versus previous year. But again, it's just a way to be careful and to be ready for managing all the key points, that means our level of production, the supply chain, the inventories, and the network stock. So that is something we already on which we already focused by the last year at the mid-year time, and that allowed us to close the year with good levels for this important point. For the rest, you asked about the CapEx for the year. There is no reason to imagine significant modification also in this case. Maybe we could have some 10 million more than previous year, accordingly with the efforts of our new plants in Asia from one side, and some consolidation in Europe, mainly on the logistics side. I'm intending the new spare parts center that we are setting up in on Pontevedra. For the Asian two wheels, I hand over to Mr. Galli.
For the Asian two wheels, basically, we have a great expectation coming both from Asia Pacific and from India. From Asia Pacific, we recently started the geographical expansion to other markets. So we attacked very high potential markets such as Indonesia. Indonesia, as you know, accounts for around 6 million units in the market, and so the expectation we have in this market are really important. We will be starting operations and invoicing starting from June. So probably in the third quarter you will see the first results. And secondly, we also attacked Malaysia and Taiwan. Going to India, as you know, operation for Vespa will not start during 2011. The start of production is forecasted for beginning of 2012. The market over there is booming. I mean, reached something around 10 million vehicles, and the scooter segment is increasing more and more. There are many players increasing production and going to this market. But since our brand Vespa is very well known, we have good opportunities. And our idea after visiting India last week is to project something higher compared to the latest estimate included in the last plan.
Okay. So should we expect a second part of the year stronger than the first one? Is it correct?
I mean, going the second part of the year stronger, okay. I mean, in the first part of the year, nobody already saw the results, so we don't know. I mean, after the 2 months, we are happy because we matched the budget, and we are happy about January and February. Let's see March results. We hope March is going to be a little bit higher than 2010. As you remember, 2010 first quarter was very good, since was much higher than 2009. And going to the second part of the year, we cannot rely on Vespa India, of course, because I mean it's going to be launched in 2012. But we have good opportunities coming from Asia Pacific by one hand, and also by, we hope, Europe, since last year we started in a good way, especially in Italia, but then the market went down during the last month after the end of a consent. So, I mean, we are optimistic for market in 2011.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question from Mr. Alessandro Falcione from UniCredit Milan. Mr. Falcione, please.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Concerning Asia, two wheels, if you can give a little bit more detail regarding volumes, because in your three-year plan disclosed in the fourth quarter, you were targeting 2013 volumes of about 106 million. So that seems extremely conservative, given the, I don't know, over 50,000 units that you already sold just in Vietnam and just in 2010, which is the first full year. So given the introduction of new models, actually, if you can give us some color on the pipeline of new product introductions, and you know what you expect from Vietnam standalone, and perhaps just an idea, and this is for 2011, and just an idea of what you expect from these new markets in their first full year, which are Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, basically last year we didn't want to adopt a very aggressive estimate on Asia expansion plans. After being there for more than 1 year, we see that probably Vietnam was well projected in terms of expansion, but we didn't include all the opportunities coming from Indonesia and coming from other areas. So doing the plan today, probably we would be a bit more aggressive, or more aggressive without a bit. I cannot tell you right now the numbers, because we still have to see how the entry is going to be during the first month. And probably in the next plan, we will have the full idea of the potentiality and more realistic numbers.
Okay. Moving on to Europe, you said you are relatively more confident about the market given the very poor 2010 comparison base. I was just wondering, what countermeasures are you putting in place to defend profitability and perhaps, you know, volumes and market share in 2011 in Europe?
I mean, 2010, the market share performance was very good, actually. I mean, we matched the market share we had during the previous year in the scooter market, and we increased a little bit in terms of market share for the motorbikes. If you look at profitability, unitary profitability in terms of gross margin, the profitability was good. Probably the P&L of PIGC suffered a little bit because of reduction in volume. If you compare 2010 results versus 2009, But the difference is much higher if you go a bit behind up to 2008, 2007. I mean, Europe and PIGC really suffered from lack of volume, but we didn't have any problem in terms of unitary margin. So my message is, of course, we hope the market is going to increase in the future. And at the moment, we are organizing by doing some structural activity in terms of reducing fixed cost. If you read our internal our communication, we defined today that one of the plants will be closed, the production will be transferred to Italy in order to reduce unitary cost, in order to give a higher level of competitiveness also to the vehicle currently produced in Spain. So, basically, adding up, we didn't have problem in 2010 for market share, and we hope it's going to be the same in 2011. Unitary margins stood the same. We suffered because reduction in volume, which we hope will be increasing in the future, but at the moment we are reducing fixed costs, such as plant costs, and we're going to close one of them, apart of having a lot of restructuring costs to reduce the base cost.
Anyway, let me add just a few words. Nothing is expected to change in our behavior in managing the company, because the cost reduction, the cost control was one of our main areas from a number of years, and this was also last year, because I mentioned before about the gross margin positive evolution apart from the dilution mix, but with a positive contribution from the sourcing activity from one side, the operational costs reduced, pricing policy never put in place any decreasing action, and of course, organizational efficiency, which is something where we are really very, very strict.
Okay, thank you. On this note, and this is my last point, raw material costs, what is your assumed impact for this year, and where do you see room to offset these increasing costs? And finally, just China, you've often talked about launches of the three-wheeled light transport vehicles in China, maybe scooters, etc. Do you have anything more to add on that, please? Thank you.
So for the raw materials, let me say that every time that we meet, every time that we have a conversation with you, this has been always a point that came out from your side. But even in the toughest past years, let me say that we are able to always offset raw material increases with other efficiencies, with a positive net impact coming from that. At the moment, of course, the situation is showing a significant increase in terms of number of materials, but from the outside, consider that we are not directly exposed to this evolution from one side. And from the other side, in many countries that are the most important for us in terms of growth, so that means mainly India, let me say, we just to give you an example, any raw material cost which impact the P&L can be immediately recovered from the price side, and this was it was what happened just last year. So at the moment, let me say, this is not a significant critical issue for us. And the other question about the Chinese opportunity, consider that those markets are so fastly growing, and there are such a number of opportunities that we are continually updating our priorities. Let me say that at the moment, the Chinese three-wheeler is not at the top, in the list of our top priorities. So we have already a number of issues there, new plants in India, new plants in Vietnam, the expansion in other Southeast Asian countries, but I don't think that the Chinese three-wheeler will be something on which we will focus in the next future.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question for Mrs. Laura Pennino from Banca Leonardo. Mrs. Pennino, please.
Hello, I have just a few questions. One is regarding SG&A costs. When you explained first previously the results, you said it was there was a different composition on sales which had a negative impact on cost. Can you give more details about this and why the geographical sales has a negative impact on cost and where mainly this comes from? For another question is regarding Vietnam. It seems, looking at the results, that that in the fourth quarter and also almost in the third, revenues were almost flat year on year. Can you give an indication of what you expect for the 2011? And another thing regarding Spain, you said you are closing a production plant in Spain. The restructuring costs are already included, or should we include them further in 2011? And lastly, you said you are happy because you matched the budget. But just to check, the budget is in line with the guidance given in the plan, or is it different?
Okay. Let me say just something about the Spain closing costs. Of course, in all restructuring activities, you have the first moment of important cash out for having significant benefits in the future years. Usually, in the first year, this balance, of course, is negative. And this is what we considered in our budget for Spanish and other restructuring operations. So the balance for the current year is negative, but not that much. And of course, starting from the second part of this year, and of course for the total next year, the balance is absolutely positive. For the other question, the G&A cost, now I hand over to Mr. Montanari, and then we go back to Mr. Galli for the other question.
As for G&A, I wanted to point out that Mr. Palottini's notes in his speech, when he talked about the different geographical units that negatively affected their results, he was referring to gross margin, and in particular to Indian gross margin that is lower than average group. The different geographical mix of our sales didn't have a direct impact on our SG&A. Furthermore, we reduced our SG&A and our operational expenses, notwithstanding the Indian and in particular the Asian growth, because the more we grow in Asia, the more the operational expenses grow. Nevertheless, this growth, we are able to reduce on a total amount the operational expenses.
Okay, moving to the other couple of questions. The first one, the last one is very simple. Absolutely, the budget is in line with the plan. So it's the same figure. There is probably some more aggressivity during the second part of the year. So the fact that we will be in budget in March or June is not automatically say that we will be on budget and on plan at the end of the year, because, I mean, as we say, during the second part of the year, we have very interesting challenges, such as introducing Indonesia and so on and so forth. Going back to Vietnam and Asia-Pacific, this year we expect an increase compared to 2010. A little bit in Vietnam, I would say some 5,000 vehicles coming especially from the launch of a second model. As you know, we are launching the Liberty, which is after Vespa and Vespa S, the second vehicle, I mean, the real second vehicle for Vietnam. And at the moment, I mean, this vehicle seems to have reached a good, I mean, consensus with the customers. And the other vehicle coming from extension of sales to other regions. If Indonesia will prove to be successful, of course, we can expect even to increase further compared to the plan.
Okay, thank you.
Next question from Mr. Stefano Lustig from Equita SIM. Mr. Lustig, please.
Good afternoon. The first question is if it's possible to have the turnover for Italian two wheels in 2010. The second, if you can go back, please, on the reduction in depreciation, just to understand if it is something that can be repeated. The third is on the tax rate. You were mentioning, let's say, a mix, a geographical mix that has been unfavorable. And just to check which are the countries with a higher taxation rate in order to understand what can be the evolution in 2011. I know that is it is a difficult matter, but just to try to understand what can be the evolution.
Okay, let me start just from the tax rate. The tax rate was affected by the geographical distribution of the net results, not only because of the local corporate tax, but mainly related also to the impact coming from the dividend distribution. That means that this year, as we had a lower bottom line for the Piaggio MC, that means mainly the Western, let me say, operations, Europe and Americas, the most of the group results came from the Vietnamese, but mainly Indian operations. And so having the results of India reflected within the agency balance sheet, we have an important dividend distribution, which is impacted by a 17% dividend tax. So, in the group view, the taxation of India is not only the local corporate tax, which is something around 33%, if I'm not wrong, but also consider the 17% of dividend distribution that gives a total taxation impact by almost 45%. This was one of the main reasons. The other one came from the impact, I'm sorry for the technicality, but this is the reason why. It came from the impact of the deferred tax assets. That means that if you have a company within the group that had this asset in its balance, in its balance sheet, and this was the case of the Piaggio MC company, and these tax assets are expiring just in the same years
where you don't have the room in order to use them, you simply lose them and you must write off them from your balance sheet. And this was the situation of PRGC from one side. From the other side, there are, as there were last year, some companies, and I refer to Piaggio Group Americas, where the negative results of the local legal entity generated a volume of, let me say, tax assets to be used in the future, but that you can register in your balance sheet only if you have the complete, if you are completely sure to use them before their expiration. Now, the expiration in USA is very, very far, in about 20 years, something of that kind of a period. But considering the very tough situation of the past 2 years in USA, we preferred not to register them. That does not mean that we cannot use them in the future, but just that we didn't consider them as a positive component of the P&L. So the combination of all of these three components, different geographical mix with the impact coming from the dividend tax, the expiration of the tax assets in Piaggio and C, and without the possibility to use them, so that we were forced to write them off, and impossibility to register the tax asset in America generated such a high level of taxes. But your puzzle is, if it was just something very technically, let me say, a little bit complicated, but these were the main components. For the rest, I hand over to Mr. Chiarelli for the rest of the question.
I mean, the first question was about the turnover in Italy for two-wheeler in 2010, if I understood. Okay. It was something around 295 million, the turnover of two-wheeler in Italy. And it was down, I would say, by 80 million or something like that. So, I mean, Italy was a very tough year in terms of volume. The total volume was around 110,000. So very, very, very tough year compared, I mean, to 2009 and previously. Moving to depreciation, 2010 was a year where depreciation was extremely low, as you noticed. One of the most important reasons is that, as you know, we started addressing a lot of investment to new areas such as Vietnam and India. And when you invest instead of in R&D, in CapEx, so plants, the depreciation period is much longer. And so you have to depreciate it not in 3 years like R&D, but maybe in 10 years or 25 years if it is a plant, or 5 to 7 years if it is about a machine or something like that. So in terms of repeatability, I don't believe, I mean, in the future we would be around the 86 million like this year. But, I mean, the progressive entry of new investment, which would be more and more in fixed assets instead of in R&D, in any case, will give us a depreciation charge very much in line to the CapEx. Since we are going to have this 100 million CapEx during the 3 years plan, we will move from the 86 million up to the 100, which is, with a running rate of 100 million CapEx, the limit at which, the fraction will go.
Thank you very much.
I apologize, but we have time only for one more question.
Thank you so much.
The last question from Mr. Gabriele Gambarova from Banca Akros. Mr. Gambarova, please.
Hi, good evening to everybody. I have just a couple of questions. One is on Indian market. I understand it's early, you cannot make any precise number. I wondered if you could give us at least an installed capacity number. I mean, if the market grows, I don't know, another 20% this year, will you be able to follow it? This is the first question. And then the second is on tax rate for 2011, if you can make an effort to make a number on this subject.
Okay, for the Indian market. The Indian market, our reference market, that means light commercial vehicles under 3 tons of payload, increased last year by 27%, combining 3 and 4 wheelers. For the current year, we are expecting some figures more or less at the same level. We are very aware of the importance of the continuous updating of our capacity, and for sure for the current year, but even for the years following, for the next years, we are able to follow the market evolution. The other question was about taxation in 2011, you mentioned.
Yes.
About numbers for India, I mean, during 2010, as you know, we increased by almost 20% in volume and 36% in turnover. And this was something really exceptional because apart, I mean, the growth of volume, we have been able to extract an increase in price and an increase in exchange rate. So the three effects gave us this much higher increase in turnover compared to the increase in volume. What we haven't been very good in managing is the switch in mix. So basically, we maintain the same mix of four-wheeler compared to the three-wheeler, and this actually resulted in a loss of a potential increase in turnover, which we didn't achieve. For 2011, we are targeting, in our number, a limited growth of around 10%, but probably, and also looking at the numbers of the first month, the potential is much higher. So in volume, the 250,000 vehicles we declared are absolutely achievable, both in terms of production capacity and in terms of product. And probably we will be able also to extract some improvement in mix for four-wheeler compared to the normal three-wheeler market. What is not sure we will be able to do is the same performance in terms of price increase following the inflation. So if the inflation will be present, we will be able to increase price like all the other competitors. And of course, the increase due to reinforcement of the exchange rate of rupee versus euro. So this kind of extra performance, we're not able to say if it is possible, but the volume and the mix should be possible.
Sorry if I interrupt you. Do you have an idea of how many what is in your mind the breakdown between three-wheelers and four-wheelers now that you introduce new engines on the four-wheeler, especially?
Sorry, we have an idea?
Do you have in mind a breakdown between three-wheelers and four-wheelers for the Indian market out of these 250,000 you are targeting?
Moment, I mean, it depends very much on the day of the year when the new four-wheeler diesel vehicle will be ready.
Let me add just a few words. The launch of the new engines, diesel engines, is something very, very critical for us. We cannot be in the situation of having any kind of problems, quality, distribution, or whatever, because it's an important step for us, having this kind of engines. So, as we are, we have under strict control all the components of a good launch of these engines on board our vehicle. We are not in the condition at the moment to know how many months in the current year we will be in the condition of equipping our four wheels. So please let us be careful on the side and not to have disclosure such kind of information.
Okay.
The other thing was about the taxation expected in 2011.
Yes.
Having in mind what I told you before, now Mr. Gallery.
We are planning something in the range of 46-47%. The key level of that, of course, is to reduce to zero the losses we had in 2010 in U.S., improve a bit the P&L of PIGC, although we don't have a huge amount of deferred tax asset expiring in 2011, while in 2010 we had. And having the right profitability coming from Vietnam, where we will have a taxation of 7.5% on vehicles produced locally. So, of course, the mix of turnover and profitability generated in the different region is still key. We don't see any particular issue, and we are targeting something higher than in 2010. Better than in 2010.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I apologize. We have to close the conference. I will be available for any additional clarification starting from now. Thanks again.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference call is over. Thank you very much for your attention.